Hello, listeners, and thank you for listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me, as always, live from the That's Entertainment capital of the world, Hampton, Maine, it's my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, how are you tonight?
I'm good. It's been when was our last chat? It's been a while.
When was it? Was it the Oscars or?
I bet it was.
I guess so.
So in March, yeah.
Yeah, because my dad and I, we did a March Madness episode. My dad and I and Jeff Smith, we did that. But yeah, I guess for you and I, it was the Oscars.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Nice to be back.
Are you getting any 100 heat index days up there?
Yeah, I don't know what today was over 9. Yesterday and today were around 90. I never saw what the heat index was. Was it by you guys? Was it really hot?
It wasn't as in the triple digits.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad here as normal, but it's coming bad tomorrow.
Oh, see, and we're cooling down a little, so it's weird.
And listeners, if you've noticed that we've had a third voice in here, that wasn't Aunt Beth changing her vocal cords. We have a guest, a first time guest on the show. It's my mother, who's also an aunt, but not to me. She's a mother to me. Please welcome Sue, live from Yardley, Pennsylvania, Sue Malone.
Yay.
Hello, everyone.
And this completes the Yardley Malone immediate family as guests on That's Entertainment.
Yeah.
Yes, Mom, this was one we've been waiting to bring you on for a long time.
I know. Well, we were waiting till this ended, our topic ended. Yeah,
so that we'd be able to talk about it so that we'd be able to cover absolutely everything.
Yes.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, because on That's Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three F's, first, favorite, and forever. If you're a new listener, now you know how it goes. And if you're an old listener, now you've been reminded. So everyone should be ready. It should be a successful listening experience, don't you think?
Yes.
But before we get into the main topic of the night, we have a topic that I wanted to discuss something else, which has occasionally related to the topic we're about to get into, but I'm not too much this year. The Emmy nominations just were announced.
Yes.
What's everyone's reactions?
Let's see. Go ahead.
Were there any Handmaid's Tales?
I don't think it got any in the major categories. Maybe it got like some in it didn't get up for drama series or acting or writing or directing, but maybe haven't looked at all like the technical categories. Like, so I don't know, maybe it could have gotten like cinematography or costume design or something, but yeah, nothing huge.
Yeah. Let's see. I only wrote a few things. I said, please take the bear out of the comedy category.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you said that the past two or three years?
Somebody's not listening to me. And then I also said, Hacks, please let some other shows have a chance.
Yeah.
That was the bear. One year was the bear. One year, not one year, but many years was Hacks. And then I was hoping that Nobody Wants This, which you watch that, Sue, with Kristen Bell,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you did, Jeff. I hope that wins something.
I wanted to.
And I hope The Pitt, which did end up getting nominated for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And that's the one I told Katie to watch about the hospital in Pittsburgh. I hope that wins something. And then the only other thing, there's a show, I don't even remember what it was on. It was called Kunk on Life. Have you watched any of those, Jeff, about
No.
the oh, what's her name? I forget her first name. Something Kunk, and she's hilarious. She's British.
I've heard about it. Did I get nominations?
Yeah, for variety special. So I was excited about that. That's all I have to say.
Philomena Kunk.
Philomena. Oh my God. I think you would
like
love
Judi Dench's character.
Will on what?
Remember Judi Dench played Philomena?
Oh, right.
In the movie Philomena?
Oh, in the movie. Philomena. You don't hear that name very often.
A different Philomena, but.
Yeah.
Maybe it's popular in Britain.
Did you have any reaction, Sue, to any of the other?
Not especially. I was disappointed about The Handmaid's Tale. I thought, I thought Serena should have been nominated for the last series. I thought she was excellent. Yeah. And the character Lawrence.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder if they have been in the. We'd have to look back. Yeah, I wonder if they were nominated.
They have. I know. Let's see. I just Googled, did it get any nominations this year? And Cherry Jones was nominated for guest actress.
She was the mom.
Yeah, June's mom.
Oh, okay. That was good episodes.
She's the only one though of.
It looks like it, just from a quick Google search.
Yeah. Okay.
And then one of my recommendations for series, and I'll wait and do that at the end. Someone was nominated, so we just finished it. So, but I'm actually hoping she'll win.
Oh, okay. So we'll.
But I'll save that.
Okay.
Looks like Yvonne Strahovski was nominated two previous years.
Okay.
Who?
Yvonne Strahovski as Serena.
That's Serena.
Oh, Yvonne. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm on the Emmy website now, and it looks like Cherry Jones was their only nomination this year.
Okay.
But yeah, sometimes that happens with some shows. They get a ton of nominations their first year, and then a few more the next few years, but then they kind of gradually disappear. Sometimes then they come back for the last season. Other times the Emmys have moved on to other newer shows.
Yeah.
Looks like what happened here. But yeah, I'm looking over. Here's my prediction based on what we've seen from my quick predictions of the two biggest categories. For outstanding drama series, I predict the winner will be Severance.
Mm.
And for comedy series, Aunt Beth, you said give it to something else besides Hacks. I think they just might. I'm predicting that the studio will win.
Oh, yeah. That would be, I love that.
I only watched the beginning and then I didn't have Apple anymore. So I guess. But I liked it a lot. Yeah, I know you guys watched it. Well, good predictions, Jeff.
We'll see what happens. But yeah. Okay. So that's, well, you and I will talk about it come September. September 14th is the Emmys.
So okay.
We'll see if I'm right or totally out to lunch. Okay. Should we get on to our main topic then?
Yeah.
Yep.
We should.
All right. Well, we've kind of already revealed what it is, but I'll do a little intro to set the tone as we dive into everything. So I'm going to say, Ne te finis fabulae ancile conterat. Does anyone know what I just said? Can anyone translate that?
Not in the least.
Remember, could you tell at least what language I was speaking?
It sounded like big Latin.
It was regular Latin.
Okay.
Yay, at least I knew that.
So what was the famous Latin quote from The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was what June wrote on the wall.
At the end or at the...
In the first season. It was like a message between the handmaids to keep them strong. Do you remember?
No, I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah,
They wrote it. They wrote it in Latin, but they said it aloud in Latin, in English.
they say it in English.
Yeah, like in
Oh.
June's voiceover, she says it like
Oh.
in early
Huh.
episode. Actually, I think they say it again. They repeat it in the last season, but it was like in a season one episode, I think she's like says it at the end of one episode. She says, "Don't let the bastards grind
Win.
you down."
Oh. Oh, okay.
Oh, I wouldn't have remembered that.
Yeah.
So I went on to Google Translate and I wrote, "Translate, don't let the end of the Handmaid's Tale grind you down."
Oh.
Translate that into Latin for me. So that's what I just said.
That's good.
Because yeah, the Handmaid's Tale, the adaptation of the Margaret Atwood novel, recently concluded its run on Hulu. Its 6-season run from 2017 to 2075, and that's what we're talking about because all three of us watched it, and I think we all enjoyed it. At least I hope we
Ooh,
did.
I
Because
did,
otherwise, it might
definitely.
be difficult to spend all this time talking about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that brings us to our first section, appropriately called First, where we discuss our earliest memories about this topic. So, yeah, so how did we first encounter The Handmaid's Tale? Did we read the book? Have we ever watched the 1990 movie adaptation, which actually came up recently in a family gathering, a little controversially, remember that?
I remember talking,
And
yeah.
what convinced us to watch the show? Mom, you're our guest, so I'll let you answer those inaugural questions first.
I knew of the book, but being in the elementary part of education, it wasn't a book that I was reading, for students. But after watching the first season, I read actually The Handmaid's Tale and then asked for the Testament. I found the book different than the show. I actually liked the book better, but I then read the Testament because I wanted to see what was, how that was going to, if it was going to be part. And I like the Testament. So when the series finished, I actually started to read the Testament again because it was several years ago that I read it. So I have it and I said, oh, let me read it again. So I was intrigued to watch the series because I felt that the respect of women, especially by some men, religious beliefs, whatever, I felt was coming back into our society. And maybe I never noticed it before, not to the, level of Gilead, but but it really made me think about women who are in a situation where they actually have no control over their own lives. So yeah, so I mean I got hooked right away. Liked the character, June, obviously, and was caught on, was definitely right away. I always, the thing I don't like about series is then you have to wait, for.
Yeah, each week.
But yeah, so that was my encounter, and then I think then I found the book on in your room, Jeff, because I think someone
Oh.
had it from high school. Did you read it in high school?
Believe so.
Yeah. So I found it there, and then I read it.
Okay, then Aunt Beth, I'll let you go ahead and talk
Okay.
about your first encounter with the handmaid then.
I was responding right to what you wrote, and I said, well, my gosh, Jeff, that was so long ago. I don't remember. But I said, I probably read about it either like in Entertainment Weekly, TV Guide, or People Magazine or something. And as what Sue said, it sounded very intriguing to me. I hadn't read the book or watched the movie version, and maybe like word of mouth or something, but I must have like read a description and said, oh, I want to start watching that. So, but that was the first season was 8 years ago,
2017. Yeah. So during the first administration of a certain president.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't remember specifically, but I'm sure I read something about it and then decided to watch it. And I think I would, when I finish all the other books I'm reading, but I think I would like to read the book and definitely the testament that you're talking about too. So how about you, Jeff? When did you?
Well, Mom kind of previewed my answer for me because I believe I read it in my senior year of high school for AP English. So I guess I kept the book around in my bookshelf and then Mom found it. But yeah, I didn't remember too many specific details about the book. I remembered the main character was named Offred. I remembered the premise. And I think we may have watched at least part of the movie version, because I remember seeing the birthing scene. I remember just being like it being like a whole bunch of people gathered around one of the handmaids. And yeah, I think I remember them wearing their hoods. So I had like a memory of the iconography and the premise, but not too many details. And I mean, I think the TV show took a lot of liberties. I mean, it had the same basic main characters, but it's set in the present day, basically. I don't remember. So the book was published in, what, 85? And was it set in the 80s or was it set in the present day? Mom, do you remember having read more recently?
It was definitely, I don't know. I felt like it was present day because I felt like it was the result of Gilead was the result of what happened in the world, you know, that made women not able to conceive.
Mm-hmm.
So I never felt like it was back in time. I definitely felt like it was more present time, or even a little later. But definitely not like back in like the 50s or 60s. I really felt it was more, it was a futuristic book when she wrote it, I felt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm reading the plot synopsis on Wikipedia, and it says it concludes with an epilogue set in the year 2195.
Oh, wow.
Where they're reading, do you remember this, Mom? They're reading Offred's story, which was originally recorded on audio tape. So
I vaguely remember that.
Huh.
And I remember it was the book, although it's set on the premise, the series on the book, the book was definitely different. But I do remember that. And that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
And yes. I actually was going to find the book, and then I got into reading the testament again.
How many times is this for you reading the testaments?
Well, I read it probably, if I read The Handmaid's Tale in, I read it when she first wrote it, as soon as that came out, because she wrote it after the started, right? Am I right with that?
After the show started? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so as soon as it came out, I got it as a gift, and so then I read it. So whenever that was, and I was just, it had a different kind of storyline, and I won't go into that. I see how they're going to do the testament, but it was interesting seeing what some of the characters, especially Aunt Lydia, in the testament, which, so when you're watching the end of The Handmaid's Tale and you've read the testament, then you have to realize that it really has nothing to do with The Handmaid's Tale, even though some of the characters were the same, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It's not like a continuation of The Handmaid's Tale, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so I read the book, and then I knew Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, so I was just willing to give it the show a chance based on the strength of her casting, and it was getting good buzz. It was being promote it. Yeah, yeah. Beth, you said Entertainment Weekly probably did an article on it. So yeah. And I mean, I think it was one of Hulu's like first big original shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're talking 8 years ago at this point. Like,
yep.
I mean, I feel like it was only like maybe like 10 years ago that really Hulu started releasing original shows. Now they've got a new one every month or so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay. That's how we met the Handmaids.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we move on to... the next section?
Yeah.
I love it, I love it, I love it!
Okay, and the next is... The next is called a little thing called Favorite, where we discuss our most beloved aspects of the topic at hand. So, as far as that relates to The Handmaid's Tale, what were our favorite elements about the show? Like characters or actors, favorite seasons, episodes, storylines, etc. Mom, I think you have some opinions about this, so let's hear them.
Okay, definitely. I'm going to change it up a little bit at the end as far as favorites. So in prepping for this, I went back to it's on Disney now. And I read like all the episode reviews.
Well, it's still on Hulu, but Hulu's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, because I couldn't find it, and then Daddy told me to go to Hulu. So I think my favorite element of the story, and I'm always like, I like a good ending, you know, I like a happy ending, I guess is what I want to say. Although because I read the book and the testament, I knew it was not going to happen, but it was the constancy that June and Luke, their determination to find Hannah. I think that really got to me, and the scenes where June did get to see her and, you know, mm-hmm. the reaction of really knowing that she was probably in a good home, but knowing that she was her mother and should be there, and the anguish that Luke had. I think that was good. And the other thing that amazed me, I think it was a series of survival, individual survivors. And I had to accept what the characters were doing in order to survive living in Gilead. And I think that those aspects. So, and then another favorite element, which was apparent in all the series, was, and I put the word positive in there, was the different positive relationships that were formed and were already formed. Of course, June and Serena throughout the entire series, all the episodes, that there was always an element that they were such enemies at first, but then somehow Serena would, I think, long for the past and see what was best, like she did with Nicole. And then I found it fascinating, thinking back how it was, that Rita and June, that when she first came, became Offred, that Rita didn't treat her very well. In the beginning of the series, it was almost like, you know, I'm in the kitchen and you're there. So I found that, but then by the end, they're like best friends and allies. Ooh. So I found that. And then I'll just go through them quick. Lawrence and his wife, I love that storyline. And it's
his
ironic.
First wife,
yeah. And it's ironic that he was the designer, right, of Gilead. Is that what I'm remembering correctly? And yet he loved his wife and wouldn't dishonor her. And then Lawrence respects for the handmaids, especially Emily, who was, you know, kind of like lost. And then of course there was June and Nick, the ever changing. And their relationships ever changing. But then I said, and in the end, Nick only cared about saving his own life. That's how I took the end, but their relationship was different. And then I think one of my favorites relationships. So it's really, I think my parts were the relationships, was of course Aunt Lydia and Janine. And Aunt Lydia had to do the role that she had. And yet I really think she loved Janine. But again, she couldn't, she had to do what she had to where she lived. So, and if I may, because I mentioned this to Bob today, I had my least favorite.
Oh, that's a good.
My least favorite thing was it, and he couldn't remember it. I was trying to get him to remember it, but so is it okay if I?
Yeah, that's my, a good.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I really I thought about them. I as soon as you said I was going to be on this, I remembered this, and I had to put the scene on yesterday so Dad could remember it. I don't know if you guys will. Was Nick's first wife Eden, and how she loved Isaac, and the punishment of drowning that the series did for this young couple. I don't know if you remember that, but they.
Who is Isaac?
Isaac and her were in love, and I think June had conversations with Eden about true love, and of course Nick didn't want to be a true husband, and Eden felt like she had to, you know, try to conceive with Nick, but he did not want to do that. He was in love with June, and so Eden begins a relationship with Isaac, another person her own age. And then they were punished because it was found out what they did. And they chained them.
See, I don't even remember that.
It always stuck with me, like how terrible. And if they had disowned their love, then they weren't going to drown them. But neither of them would disown their love. So, and actually, Eden starts reciting about love from the Bible. Love is this. I guess it's Corinthians. So anyway... that was my least favorite because it seems so horrible to destroy two lives because they loved each other.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my synopsis, was just the different relationships.
I like that you did that.
Yeah, I didn't really. Do you remember what season that was, Mom?
It was season. I think it's season 3. Episode 12 or 13. I can tell you in a second because I had to, I know it was weird, like I didn't remember a lot of details from the past, but that just really
stuck with you.
It just struck me because I thought and I think for me personally, because a good friend of mine was a Mormon, and I felt like women in that religion sometimes are not respected.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm pretty sure I can let you know.
Okay. It's interesting that, because I have a whole different take on how mine. So we probably all went in different directions.
Yeah. And like I said, I felt like mine, I'm always like this happy ending person, but it doesn't happen, you know, like Disney.
Yeah.
Lives happily ever after. I have got to get, I've learned to get used to that.
I know. I think we grew up with that, thinking things would always, you know, when we were younger, you always had a happy ending. So.
Exactly. Well, yeah. It was season 2, episode 12.
Oh, season 2. Okay. I think what happens when there's so much time between all these seasons that it's a long span, and that's why I forget a lot of the early seasons. Now I'm wanting to rewatch some of it.
Well, that's why I went through the I had to find that's
a good idea. So I just was saying that my favorite characters have probably changed as the seasons went on. Like I remember, and I know I'm not as good as you guys or you because I didn't go back, but I just remember for some reason I really liking Moira early on. I always loved Janine, and towards the end I think we all loved Joseph Lawrence right up until the end. And then as the time went on, I remember even starting to actually like and understand Aunt Lydia more, which after, if you watched her at the beginning, and that to, for me to say that would be kind of shocking because she was so, so horrible at the beginning. But towards the end, you kind of see these changes happening, even like what you said with Serena too.
Well, they did kind of explain her a bit in earlier seasons with some of the flashback episodes where we got a glimpse of what her life was like before Gilead.
Oh, yeah. Of Aunt Lydia. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's true. And then I guess I didn't have specific elements. I just said on a whole, what I liked was how just how it the show makes you so angry but also scared, and to think that maybe this could really happen is just I mean, not that that's my favorite, it's a favorite in a different way, like it's just like you said, it just grabs you thinking about that. Go ahead, sir.
You kind of want to say like, oh, this couldn't happen here, but it's like there are countries where women and minorities are really
second-class citizens.
Yeah, and I mean to the point where they, you know, they can't drive or they can't get an ID without like spousal approval or parental approval or things like that. And I mean, not to say that the U.S. is perfect or has ever been perfect in terms of treatment of women and minorities, but yeah, I mean, like, it's, you don't have to think of, you know, it's not like Gilead has existed literally in this world, but
there's
reality isn't all that different.
In
terms of control.
Yeah, that's what's a little scary.
Well, and that's a good word, because that's what I feel that some of the religions, they want to have control over their women and the girls, and they should have only one role in their life.
I know, and that amazes me that's like in this day and age that's still happening, and I don't know. I felt like, but I should probably go look at them, but on the whole, I remember thinking that I probably liked the early seasons the best, even though it's funny because some of the shows some of the episodes were so difficult to watch, but you like it at the same time. I have that happen with a few shows that I watch, and I'm like, why am I watching this? But yet you almost can't turn away from it. I really did enjoy the final season too, though. And just feeling like the women were finally fighting for justice and to just feel like after all that happened prior, that was finally a decent ending.
Possibility. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, those are my favorites.
Yeah, well, I also liked season 6 a lot, and I think it may have been my favorite season. Like, I think the show started strong season 1, but then kind of got a little repetitive in seasons 2 and maybe season 3 as well, and I was kind of losing my fervor for the show in those middle seasons, and actually fell several weeks behind or fell a couple years behind. But then most of season 5 and all of season 6, I really liked a lot. It felt free to continue its story and to have forward narrative momentum. It was maybe at times a little too overly literal in terms of the points it wanted to make, but I mean, it did it with such conviction that it was, and sometimes you just have to be literal about what you want to say and not leave any room for misinterpretation. But yeah, I think Aunt Beth, I think you said we all liked Commander Lawrence, and that's true. And I'll say what Bradley Whitford, he's a great actor. I think I've loved him in everything I've seen him in. But I found his performance, I felt like, so he wasn't in, was, did he join in like the third season or thereabouts? Or maybe he was,
yeah, I don't remember,
guest actor early on.
He came about that because that's when Emily, remember, she had been in the colonies.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went, she was sent to him. And I'm thinking that's about when he really came on the show.
Yeah, I don't know for sure.
Let me see if, I'll try to look it up on IMDb quick. And I'll look on my phone instead of my computer so that I don't bump anything.
Yeah, don't bump your thing.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was, let me see if I'm right, if it was season three. Because then Emily, remember, she like left the show.
Looks like he was in the last two episodes of season two.
Okay.
That's when he started.
Okay.
So that early.
Yeah. But yeah, so just his performance, it felt like he was a writer or a viewer of the show, like coming in and being like, okay, we all know Gilead's messed up, right? Like, we need to fix things here, right? Yeah. Like, you know, none of the other all the other commanders were obviously being deceptive, but he, you know, he still in his position still had to be ostensibly loyal to Gilead, but, you know, like you, like, it's, almost too bizarre how honest and straightforward he's being.
I think that was because of his wife. Mm-hmm. I think he because she hated it so.
Mm.
And I think like he saw the evils of Gilead because of his wife's reaction to it all, which actually made her mentally ill. And so I think like that was when the reality of what was happening in Gilead hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And it made him think about the women. And plus I think for the show, in order for it to evolve on where it was going, I don't know how long writers think about this, they had to have one nice, different proactive commander.
Yeah, I guess
so. Because otherwise, how would they ever have gotten the children out? It was a reality that they needed someone high up on their side.
Yeah, I guess so.
Plus, June and him had like this strange love hate.
Yeah, and he's just funny though. Even though just that of his character, they made that character good, but he's just. Right. Something about him too, and that's his acting, but he's just a funny guy. Like, I don't know if funny's the right word, but
he was the perfect one for that role, I think.
Oh yeah.
And so I am disappointed that he wasn't nominated. That's why at the
end, for the, especially for that season. Yeah. Jeff, what did you have some favorite characters?
Well, Lawrence, I just said. And I mean, Janine and Lydia were always compelling. Lydia, especially in the first season. I mean, throughout, but like the first season, she really, and Dowd really had a lot she was a lot showier in the first season. But I think Serena, she had perhaps the most dynamic arc of any character.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties into what the theme that I really, I think I liked the most about by the end, where you kind of saw the contrasting religious perspectives between her and June. And it was interesting, like June was kind of a religious person. I mean, like, she certainly wasn't a religious fundamentalist like the rulers of Gilead. She certainly wasn't religious in the way Serena was, but it kind of made them bond against all odds that they did both feel that they were blessed by God. They both were fortunate enough to have children naturally conceived by the end of it. And yet, like, they're like, this is, you know, like a lot of people in the past thousands of years, they are like, you know, the fact that we are able to have kids, that's, that must be some evidence of a higher power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was like, you know, I think that's a sign of survival on, on June's part, that she's able to still have some belief despite all the mistreatment that she suffered.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I didn't remember it coming out before that Serena's father was, and it might have, again, you don't remember, but he was a minister, right?
That's,
I didn't remember that a lot earlier, but then in that, in the last season, she was thinking back to when she was with her father.
Oh yeah, they showed some things. Yeah, she's very good too. But I hadn't seen her in anything before this. I've seen her in a couple things.
She was probably best known for the show Chuck. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's, yeah, I didn't watch that. That's right. I remember seeing her name, though. So that was what she was. I wonder if that was her first role then.
Probably her first American role.
Yeah, okay. But it was good.
Did anyone pick out a favorite episode?
No. Oh, I did.
Okay.
My favorite, and now that I told you my least, I think my favorite episode, and again, it had to do with Lawrence, when they were trying to get the children on the airplane and they had to be quiet. I love that whole episode. So a couple things. I loved when Lawrence was reading to them. They were all sitting in the room reading to them. And then the other part of that was when the plane finally gets to Canada. I don't know if you remember this. And they're coming off the plane, and Luke is looking for Hannah. And of course, June didn't get on the plane, so he's looking for Hannah. But this one little girl gets off the plane, and you see this father yelling her name. I mean, I can still remember getting so choked up. And he's yelling her name. And Luke stands there watching how he runs to his daughter, and the little girl remembers her father. And I just, the reunion of that, and then Luke facing the reality that Hannah was not on the plane. So I think the accomplishment of them, I think it was 86 children getting into Canada, and just how Canada was so different than Gilead. They welcomed with open arms. But anyway, I think that was my favorite episode. I think it was called The Rescue. Maybe, I don't remember, but.
Yeah.
Looks like that was the season 3 finale, maybe, or thereabouts.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, and Rita was on the plane, right? She left too, I think. And that's when she got out. So that was my favorite.
Did you have one?
I didn't pick a specific episode, but when you just said Sue, when he was reading to them, I loved in the last season, anytime they showed him with the little girl, what's her name? Yes. You could just tell, like, so it was, what was his second wife's name? I can't even remember. Carradine later, but she was a funny character, but it was her, it was really Janine's daughter, but it was that he was just so good with her.
Yes.
And I just found it so touching whenever they showed.
Wasn't he teaching her chess or something?
Oh, I think he was, yeah.
Naomi was her name.
Naomi. That's right. Okay. That's right.
Whenever they showed him with, because she barely had any warmth or anything, and he was just so sweet with her. And so I loved when they showed them together.
Yeah, definitely.
The girl was named Angela by the commanders, but Charlotte was the name Janine gave her.
That's
the
right.
Little girl.
The little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that now.
I think I'm not sure if this was my favorite episode, but at least one of my favorite episodes was Train, which I believe was the season 6 premiere, where with June and Serena on the train to Alaska.
Oh, yeah, that was good. I like that. Yeah, if I think back on ones, I'll be like, yeah, that was interesting, because that I love, Sue, that you said that, because their relationship was so complicated.
Yeah, like she pushed Serena off basically to save her.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
That was a very good, because weren't, yeah, wasn't it when she was on the train that if she stayed, there were people who realized that she was bad.
Yes, I know she was trying to get her off, to save her, but, All right.
Shall we move along to some trivia questions then?
Yeah.
Mom, did you come up with any trivia?
I have three questions.
Oh.
All right, let's hear them.
All right. The first one is, what detective from Law & Order SVU was in season 3?
Ooh.
Now, Law
the,
& Order.
The character from Law & Order or the actor?
No, he didn't. He was one of the detectives on Law & Order. And he became
the actor.
The actor. And I didn't want to say who it was because I thought that would give it to you.
Yeah.
And who, what was his real, what was his name? What was his name? And he was on Law & Order SVU. And, I love Law & Order and Law & Order SVU. I watch them all the time. Reruns.
I can think of just a few Law & Order detectives. It wasn't Ice-T, was it?
No.
The only one I know is Christopher Maloney, but I don't know if he was on SVU or just the regular one.
Well, SVU was the one that he was mainly on.
Okay. That's yes. Who I guess.
You are correct.
Oh, okay.
Well, on Law & Order, he played Detective Elliot Stabler. He was, like, very popular. But I don't know if you remember the season when they had to go into Washington. June and her husband were going to D.C. to meet up with, for lack of a better word, the higher-up commander. And Christopher Maloney played him.
Oh, God, I don't remember that at all.
So very good, Beth.
Yeah, well, that's the only person I know, so...
And then I want to know the character on The Handmaid's Tale so this is how I worded it. What Law & Order actress who played multiple minor roles on Law & Order was a main character in The Handmaid's Tale?
Ooh, let's see.
And I remember seeing her several times on Law & Order, and she played different. So, but she was the main character.
I'm gonna guess
on Law and Order though.
She just played minor roles, but in The Handmaid's Tale, she had a major role.
Who are you guessing, Jeff?
I'm gonna guess Ann Dowd.
Very good, Aunt Lydia.
Oh,
yes.
She was on that.
She was on that several times as a different person. You know, that's how they do that.
Those are good.
Okay, and my last one. And I actually didn't remember where she was, what episode, but then I did look it up. Okay, so this is this character was a supporting Oscar-winning actress, and she played a character named Mrs. O'Connor in The Handmaid's Tale. And the only connection I'll give you as a clue is that her run-in was with Emily in The Colonies. And when you want another clue, I'll give you the show she won for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, that sounds so familiar.
Wait, she won an Oscar or an Emmy for...
She won a supporting Oscar for a movie she was in. And if I tell you the movie, you'll know who it is right away.
I know. I remember when they were in The Colonies and I said, this person looked very familiar. I'm wondering if that's... let's see. You might have to, instead of the movie, give us like the first initial or something.
Or what? Or a year? What decade did she win the Oscar?
Oh, geez. Well, let's just say the character she played opposite of played a very interesting lawyer in a southern town.
In the movie?
In the movie?
In the movie, she won supporting Oscar.
Oh, was she?
And he's very short. And she solves the crime because of her mechanics knowledge.
Oh, okay. What's her name?
And she also punched George in Seinfeld in the...
It's from My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei.
That's not who I was thinking of. She was in the Colonies?
She was in the Colonies, and she was in the Colonies because of committing adultery. But Emily knew who she was, and so the character, Mrs. O'Connor, who she played, gets sick. And Emily pretends that she has medicine and gives her medicine. But then it actually was a drug that was going to kill her. And the reason she did it is because she realized that she was a wife who held down handmaids while they were being raped.
Oh.
So Emily actually, so she was on a short time and Emily actually killed her. So I'm like you, Beth. I can remember thinking, oh my God, I know her. Like, but anyway, that was Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Those were good trivia questions.
Anyway, it was kind of fun. But you guys did good. I mean, you guessed Aunt Lydia, and Beth, you got my first one.
I know, but that was a total guess. So.
Well, I thought Bob would get that because he and I used to watch Law and Order years ago every week. But I had to show him. I had to show him the.
I wouldn't.
Anyway, there's my trivia.
Mine's not as exciting. I just said what award-winning novel inspired Margaret Atwood to write The Handmaid's Tale?
Oh.
The Bible.
You should each take... No, that's a good... And I didn't notice.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay. You could each take a guess. That's a good guess.
What decade was it published?
I'm not sure when it was published, actually. I could Google it.
Thank God for Google.
Sure.
Let's see. Let's see. Okay, let's see if it comes up. It's not, wait a minute. 1949.
June 8th, 1949. Is this novel made into a movie?
I don't think so. I don't remember it ever being a movie.
Oh.
You could ask some questions about it, but
1949. What genre was it?
I'm not sure what it's under, if it's considered. I don't think it's considered science fiction.
I'll guess.
Let me see.
I'm blanking on anything. Let's see. I'll guess. What'll I guess?
Well, if I tell you what they're calling it, it might give it away too. But when you're ready for it, similar genre to The Handmaid's Tale, I guess.
Right.
Hmm.
It's like dystopia.
Oh, the Scarlet Letter.
Dystopian. A dystopian.
What's a dystopian from 2000 from 1949?
I know that's interesting.
I don't know. I'll just guess A Clockwork Orange, even though that was made into a movie, but I can't think of anything.
Do you have a guess, Sue?
Well, I said To Kill a Mockingbird, then I said The Scarlet Letter.
Those are all, because they're related. Do you want the author's initials? Or do you want me to choose?
Sure.
G-O.
G-O, Georgia, 1984?
Yeah. I didn't.
That I think that was made into a movie in the 80s, I think.
I was going to Google that, but then I Googled the genre. So it was a movie, actually?
I think so, yeah.
So what was it?
1984.
Oh, that's the name of the book.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was like...
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I think we might have read it in high school.
I know I didn't.
That's the one Big Brother is watching. Let's see. The movie. Yeah, I guess it... 1984... Dystopian film writers. Oh, okay. I guess it was directed by Michael Redford.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that Robert's younger brother?
Brother, yeah.
He's probably related. Yeah. Anyway, okay. You go, Jeff.
All right. My question is, which Handmaid's Tale cast member wrote a college thesis about her character?
Oh. Hannah.
it was one of a main cast member. What's that?
Did they write it like while they were on the show or
No, before this was before years before
they were even on the show.
Year before the show even existed. But based on the book, she wrote a thesis about this character. Yeah.
Interesting.
So this would have been like, I guess sometime between 85 when the book was published and 2017 when the show premiered.
When it started.
And it's a main character?
Mm-hmm.
Janine.
Nope.
And not Aunt Lydia again or George.
No.
I'm too old. I'm thinking.
It could be a male. Oh, based on.
It was someone, Mom, that you mentioned earlier in our discussion.
Oh, Eden?
No.
It's a. You said her. So
yeah.
Said it's female. Okay.
Emily? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Rita.
Yes, that's correct. Do you know the actress's name?
I do not.
What is her name?
Amanda Bruegel.
Rita. Oh, that's funny.
She would be the right age, yeah. Interesting.
That is interesting.
You know where she grew up? Where she went to school? Where?
She grew up in Canada, and she went to York University in Toronto.
Interesting. Yeah.
So she must have read.
Margaret Atwood is Canadian, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
I think she is. Maybe that's why Canada is such a good place.
Yeah. In
Handmaid's Tale.
I think All we right. would be intrigued, though, since we talked about her quite a bit, if you read the Testament.
I want to read it.
And because you would be intrigued, because it has a lot to do with Aunt Lydia. That's why I wanted to read it again. But
okay,
well, this was fun.
Forever! Forever! Forever!
All right. Well, now we have one final section for the forever section, where we take stock of where we are and look ahead to the future. So, yeah, let's give our quick final thoughts. I mean, we've kind of. So where does The Handmaid's Tale, where does it stand in TV history? And are we planning on watching the sequel series, The Testaments, which we've been discussing a bit. So, Mom, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I'm definitely reading the Testament because I always like to compare.
Watching books. The Testament. Watching it.
Yeah, watching it.
You already read it.
I already read it. I'm rereading. But I like to connect the books to the TV or to the movie to see what's changed, you know, because there's always changes. But as far as thinking about where this, The Handmaid's Tale is, I think the thing, I can't figure out where it might be. This is what I wrote. I think The Handmaid's Tale is one of the scariest series for many people to watch. I think the hanging wall, which is so prevalent in the beginning, could turn people off from continuing to watch it, because I think that was very surreal and just it was too much. I had difficulty with that. So since it was so visible in the first this season, I think it could stop people from watching. But as far as its place in history, it will only be watched by a certain type of audience. So I'm not sure of my answer where it will end up in history. So there you go.
I just said that, I don't know about history, but I thought that it was a very important show for people to watch because of its message, but also not even to do with just the story, but also the writing and the acting, and that it was just such a well done show that I think it's, I would hope that more people watch, but I like how you said that it might be a very specific audience. I don't know. And I definitely am going to watch the Testament, even though I really don't know much about it. But since the I'm intrigued now because you said it's not really like a sequel, but I still want to, you know, know more about it. So yeah, I'm going to be watching that.
Yeah, I'm planning on watching it as well. Although if you'd asked me a couple years ago, I'm not sure I would have said yes, because I wasn't as high on Handmaid's Tale as I am now, but now I am excited. And this final season kind of teased some dangling plot threads, like with Lydia and I think with Hannah. Yeah. I've heard they're going to be part of the focus of the Testaments. And maybe I'll even get around to reading the book before the show premieres. But so as far as The Handmaid's Tale in place in TV history, so I was reading, I mentioned earlier, I read the synopsis of the book's epilogue about people reading or hearing Offred's story in 2195. And so, and it's saying here in the synopsis, the speaker appears to be very dismissive of the misogyny of Gilead and interprets the story's title as a sexist joke. So I'm like, maybe that's kind of it's kind of a hopeful idea about the future, that, you know, the misogyny can't even be conceived of. But also it's concerning because it's like some people can't conceive of misogyny today, even though, despite the fact that it still clearly exists.
Yeah.
But I hope we can at some point in the future look back at this show and say, thank God this country or any other country didn't turn into Gilead.
Yeah.
Even though we had some worries that it might.
Yeah.
That's my hope for The Handmaid's Tale's legacy and for our future.
Okay.
And that's where I'll leave us.
Do you know when the Testament is coming out? Have they announced anything?
Have you seen any dates, Mom? Because I don't think I've heard anything.
I mean, I know I Googled it at the end of the series, but I saw it, I don't remember.
I didn't know if it was like already in production or...
I've heard announcements about casting. Like, I know Anne Dowd is going to be playing Lydia again. I'm on Wikipedia and it's saying production of the series was set to begin on April 7th, I guess, of this year.
Oh,
so maybe they've started producing it.
Yeah.
Now, so
okay, well, whenever whoever
I also wonder will... if it's going to be like when I'm curious when it starts, if it will be like this flashback from what I know is described in the book, and then there's a thought, then it goes, you know how they'll do that, and then they go back and the series begins way before this one thing happens. So I'm very curious if that's what's going to be the setup for it.
Yeah, it'll be.
We'll
it'll
find be out.
Yes, we will definitely.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, before we say goodnight, I'll ask everyone, do you have anything that you're doing or that someone you know is doing that you'd like to promote? And is there anything you'd like to recommend that you can enjoy with your aunts and or nephews? So, Mom, anything?
Well, Daddy and I just finished a series called Sirens.
That got a couple Emmy nominations, I think. Yes,
and I'm really hoping that Megan Fahey, is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 5 episodes. I really liked the ending because sometimes I think the endings don't match what has happened over the last 4 episodes. She was wonderful. Julianne Moore was. It was unexpected. Yeah. The one character, Millie Alcock. Well, who did Daddy? What was she on? Daddy told me. I didn't watch.
Oh, she just played Supergirl.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah, in the new Superman movie.
But
she's in it. She's in it for just a quick cameo.
Was she in Game of Thrones or something?
Yes. Yeah, I believe that's what it was. Game of Thrones, right, Bob?
Yeah, she was good in this too. I had never seen her before. Yeah, that was.
And then
very
a somewhat
good.
Light show with Owen Wilson's Stick.
Oh, has that ended yet?
Not yet, and I'm surprised that we watched it. In fact, I think it might be on tonight. It's a once a weeker. Owen Wilson, and I was surprised that Bob wanted to watch it because it's a golf show. it's very good. It's not really about golf. It's about the characters. And then, of course, I just have to say this to Beth because we are on season 4 of My Brilliant Friend. But you can only watch that if you want to read subtitles.
I know. I'm finishing up a few shows that I was streaming, and then I was going to watch the first season. So, oh, man. And were they?
You
they
may end up watching the whole season. Yeah. But anyway, they're my 3, especially Sirens and Stick. They're both good.
Oh, good.
So I just looked it up. Millie Alcock is on House of the Dragon.
Oh, that's right.
The Game of Thrones spinoff.
Oh, okay. I think she's Australian, right? Or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
I just and wrote down, these me. Are what I'm watching now. So I wrote down The Gilded Age. Are you watching that?
Oh, yes, I'm behind one.
And The Bear and Duster, which was a lot of fun. I had you guys, we watched the first episode at your house.
Oh, right.
It's with, it got Josh Holloway from Lost. It started a little slow, but then it got better and better. So I like that. And then this one
I just rewrote that down.
Okay. This one hasn't started yet, but there was a good review. Have you heard of Washington Black? Oh, I know you. It's going to be on Hulu. And I can't even remember why I had checked it off. But
is that with is Sterling K. Brown going to be in that?
I think so, yes. And it sounded very good. If you guys later, you could Google it. Or Sue, Bob, it's in the TV guide that Bob just got.
Oh, okay. I wrote it down, Washington Black.
Okay. Yeah. So though, yeah, and I don't. I think you're the only one, Jeff, that has things to promote.
Okay. Well, I'll promote what I usually promote, which is our Patreon. You can, if you'd like to support us financially, you could do that if you'd like. And also, Ken Jeong, you still have an open invitation to be a guest on this podcast whenever you'd like. And you can read my other pop culture thoughts on jmoney.com. And I'm going to recommend a board game that we played on vacation.
Yeah.
It's called my cousin Wesley gave it to me for Christmas, and we played it at the shore. It's called the Blockbuster Game. It's for anyone who's ever watched a movie It's kind of like clue giving and charades mixed together.
It was fun.
We were telling, when Katie was here, we were telling Wesley and Elizabeth, well, first he was very happy that you liked it, but then we were telling, or Katie was telling them about your Lawrence of Arabia clue suit when you were doing the charades. But yeah, that was a good one. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We got it. We should. Yes. Ed, did you have any shows to recommend?
Just the game. Yeah. I'm watching some, I'm always watching shows, but
yes.
Everyone's got enough to watch. Yeah. You can, when you're not watching, when you need to take a break from the TV, you can play that game.
Yeah. That's
well, good. I also just wanted to say, because of watching The Handmaid's Tale, I never was interested in watching Mad Men. But I might have to buy it because it's not on anything. But
oh,
I wanted to because I never
it
watched
might
it.
Be, it might be streaming on AMC Plus. Okay. But yeah.
I figured that was going to be my winter series.
That's funny. Well, yeah, I never watched it when it was on. And Megan loved it. And I always thought, I love
so
John Hamm. Yeah, I love John Hamm. And I love Elizabeth Moss. So maybe we should watch it at the same time.
That's
Bob
a good idea.
All of it?
He did, but I was teaching at the time, so I was going to bed, and then he was watching TV.
Oh, okay.
Much later.
Yeah. All right. I think
this
was fun.
Well, you can. I guess we'll wrap it all up. You can follow us on social media. We're still on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Blue Sky. So you can follow us if you're on any of those. And I guess we'll say goodnight then.
And all I have to say, what is goodnight?
And cool. Mom, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It was fun.
You had lots of good insights.
And I'll say, keep your emotes handy and your eyes open.